I'm giving up. I'm giving up something. I'm giving up, because I'm tired of it. It doesn't seem to work. I'm giving up chocolate. I'm giving up candy. I'm giving up complaining. This is the season that we are in our church. We're in the season of Lent. And we sacrifice something or we give up something so that we can get closer to Christ in order to remember what Christ went through in the desert when he was tempted by the devil. And we come to this period of time thinking about what we are giving up. My name is Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And if I haven't met you yet, I would love to. I'll be in the lobby after the service if you'd like to meet. But these last 2 weeks, we've been talking about I'm giving up. That's our little mini series, I'm giving up. What is it that you're giving up? Last week, we talked about bitterness and how it's probably a good idea we give up bitterness because it's not really good for our lives and it's not something that we benefit from having bitterness anyway. So it's probably a good idea that we give that up. This week, we're talking about plans. What plans have you made that haven't quite worked out? What plans have you made? You think, well, I wish I hadn't made those plans because they didn't work. Anyway, here at Palm Harbor, we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of the ways we do that are through our core values. And one of our core values is having a commitment to missions. And you have had a commitment to missions a lot longer than the time that I have been here. You've had a commitment to local missions, schools and places that need care in the community, providing for our local community through food banks and through reaching out to those who have less than you. We've also done regional in the state of Florida. You are very active in supporting the Florida Children's Home as our regional mission. You are also active and involved internationally as we give to missionaries around the globe. Outside of Florida, outside the United States. And you have given to people like Amy Sticker and also Jonathan and Sakomi McKelly. And they're here today with us. And he's going to join us on the platform. Jonathan's going to join us on the platform. But he can't really come up here unless you welcome him with a great big Palm Harbor welcome. So let's welcome him to the platform. This is Jonathan, and some of you know him. Who remembers Jonathan from before? He's been with us for a while. You have some of the people over here. Yeah, good. So this is Jonathan McCauley, and Jonathan, tell us a bit about yourself, and you know, some people don't know you. Tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from, and you know, your family. I know they're here with you.
Yes, hello.
He's been a little busy. He was up with another Bible study before this, so he's a little...
I'm just not used to technology.
That's it. Yeah, you don't have it.
My name again is Jonathan. My wife, Satomi, over there. We have a daughter, Yuka, and we have another daughter, a foster daughter, named Haruka, and there's a picture actually coming up. I grew up in Central Florida, close to Mickey Mouse, Disney World, and I received a call to missions, and so my family is in Japan. So we, the four of us, live over in Japan, and we are usually happy, unless we're fighting.
Just north of Tokyo, right? 2.5 hours?
Yes, we are about 100 miles north of Tokyo.
Okay, good, good. And tell us who's who in the picture here.
Yeah, okay, so I'm trying my best to do the selfie. And then you got my daughter, Yuka, down there with one of her mini stuffed animals on top of her head. Satomi, you can see her. And then in the back, the very cheerful Haruka, which means actually spring flower.
I didn't know that. That's cool, yeah. So where do you do then, you know, Japan's a long way away for us, but where do you do most of your ministry there? What are you called to do there?
Right. So as I said, we're in Japan. We work, of course, with the community and work with the churches to share the gospel as we are doing here. But also we work with an amazing community within the school. We work at the place called the Asian Rural Institute. There's a picture of one of our graduating classes up there. And so we work with people from all over the world. In that picture, there's about 17 nationalities represented, people who've come from those countries and who are going to return or did return to their countries once they were finished. And so we do most of our work within this community. This is our family.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to let you look at that picture for a little bit. 17 different nationalities in that picture. And Jonathan tells me they don't always wear those clothes when they're together. No. But
Special day.
How long have you been there?
We've been there for 13 years now.
Wow, that's a long time for a Methodist pastor, you know?
Amen. Don't tell Bishop Carter.
No, right, yeah, they move around a lot. Good. And so you've been there 13 years, and you know, obviously, what we've got in common is that we're both pastors. And you know, for me, it's like, why don't you just do like a normal pastor job? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what is wrong with that? They don't want me. You know, they say that the missionaries are the ones they throw out. They don't know what to do with. I guess it really comes down to our call, right? And for all of you, why do you do what you do? It's your call, hopefully. Hopefully you're not just doing it to get by. But it's a call that we received. When I was a child, I remember having a fake language with one of my friends because I thought it was so cool that other people could speak other languages. So we made up this language and would talk to each other in class and pretend to be cool, right? But from a young age, God put a heart for diversity and a love for cultures in me. And so I think that was just kind of a natural outcropping of that. Maybe, you know, if I was here, you'd get bored of me or I'd get bored of you. I don't know. But
right, yeah, probably. Probably. What then, remind me what you actually do at the Asian Rural Institute. Like, how do you communicate the gospel and what is unique? Why is there 17 different nations there?
Yeah, thank you. We work in the community life, meaning we work within the community. Our job basically is to build relationships with these people. Many of them are very strong Christians. Some of them are Buddhist, Muslims. Many of them are secular. We build relationships with these people and we try to share with them who Jesus is by our lives, by the way that we live. I'm a community life staff as well as my wife. Satomi works with the outside community as well, but I mainly focus within ARI.
Yeah, you're the chaplain there. Like the pastor of the group there. And so in that calling, we've got you in the kimonos up here as well.
Looking good, my
traditional
skirt there.
Traditional picture. It's far away from us. And often when we think of missionaries, we think about giving up something. We think about sacrificing something. What have you given up in order? And tell us your experience of that.
I guess I gave up my plans, obviously. I was not planning on becoming a missionary. I had a pastor who would put these things in my ear, and then walk away, and that happened. I think more than that, though, I've given up comfort. Quite literally, we gave up comfort in 2011 when an earthquake and tsunami hit. Mm. We should have ran, but we felt a call that was too strong to run. But we've given up comfort because it's not familiar. It's definitely not the kind of weather we like in Florida or Okinawa. It's definitely lots of miscommunication, lots of conflict, lots of dirty, hard work because we do agriculture as well. Lots of manure and lots of Satomi saying, why did you bring those clothes in here?
It's so interesting and so different for us, but how is this calling, this work, and this way of communicating the gospel, how has this shaped you? Like this thing that you've given up, of course our series here is giving up.
Right.
And how has giving up shaped you and Satomi?
Right. I'm going to refer back to, again, this accident that happened in 2011, right? This power plant exploded. My wife and I, after meeting with the community, we were trying to decide what to do. We sat down and we prayed. We didn't hear God, but the verse, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, and that peace that passes understanding just came upon us. And I guess for me, the going out, stepping out in faith to do, be a missionary, there is the knowledge and the experience that God provides. Hmm. That when we go out in faith, God will provide, no matter what it is. God will provide the way. God will provide the means. For the past 2 years in the pandemic, every month, our general manager has said, God has provided. We didn't know how we'd get there. We didn't know how we'd do it this month, but God has provided. And that, I mean, that is what I've gotten, is to believe, not in my head, not even in my heart, but with my whole being, that God is faithful and God will provide.
That's good. And you've, because of your experience, you've actually lived that. And
yes,
that's amazing.
Yes, very much.
What is, you know, a foundational verse for you? You know, you said about how, you know, it's been a blessing to you to give up. And, you know, we talked about giving up plans and stuff. What's a foundational verse for you?
Thank you. Yeah, Proverbs 16:9, which is actually a verse that my wife and I used even in our wedding. It says here, we can make our own plans. And we all do make our own plans. This is, you know, scripture speaking. But the Lord determines our steps. This has been my life. I've had lots of plans that have not gone right. And yet it is the Lord who has determined things. I know. I didn't think that, you know, we're Methodist free will. I believe that very strongly. But God has done so much that I know it was only God. So Proverbs 16:9.
That really rings true around here. And as we've, you've been supporting Jonathan and his wife for a long time, ever since 2011. And they really appreciate that. We're going to pray for him at the end and commission him. But him and his wife will be out in the lobby here after service. You want to chat with them, support them, and you know, thank them for what they're doing in Japan. But really appreciate you and your wife coming, and of course bringing your whole family here. And you're in town for 3 months, right?
Yeah, we're in town for another few weeks.
Okay, another few weeks. And he's traveled around lots of different churches that also support him. But please thank Jonathan for coming today and his wife, Satomi.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Just like Jonathan, a communicator of the gospel, somebody that was in the community sharing and traversing the gospel to the community, so was Paul the apostle. Paul, originally Saul, was a Pharisee. He was a super Pharisee. He was the first missionary, and he's the super missionary that Jonathan and Satomi mirror their life off of this person. He was somebody who communicated the gospel all around the Mediterranean and the surrounding areas. And he wasn't always like that. He was a Pharisee. He was somebody at the top of his shop, top of his game. He was persecuting those who followed the way of Jesus. And in the scripture we're going to read together, he says, I've done all I can. I've done all I can, and because I've done everything, I'm actually deserving of pay. I'm actually deserving of some reward, but I consider that nothing compared to the now privilege I have of sharing the good news. The good news originally was the Greek for good news was evangelion. It's where we get the word evangelist, somebody who shares the gospel. Somebody who is a great evangel is somebody who is evangelistic in the way they communicate with their life. Paul was not only a missionary, but he was also the great evangelist of the Mediterranean. And Paul gives us a word in Corinth. Paul's in Corinth, and Corinth is a very particular country in Greece for its strategic location. The bottom half of Greece was an international destination. It was the way you got from the Aegean Sea over to the Mediterranean. And the fastest route was to go across the bottom of Greece through Corinth. And if you went there with your ship. You would take everything off the ship and you traverse the land all the way to the other side and get on a different ship with your cargo and all the people that got off the other ship. If your ship was small enough, your boat was small enough, you would take your whole boat and roll it across of Corinth to the other side so you could get to the Aegean in the boat that you wanted to go. Sorry, to the Mediterranean. So Corinth, because of this, was an international destination. More than 17 nations, the people from all over the world. It was a little like modern-day Orlando. People from all over the world in this one location. And Paul spent 18 months there once communicating the gospel. And now he writes what we have got in our Bibles. And we're in Corinthians, the first letter of Corinthians. There's two letters in Corinthians in the New Testament. We're in Corinthians, the first one. And we're in chapter 9. We're going to show you the words on the screen, but if you'd like to open your Bible to chapter 9, follow along with us, or open your app to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to give you some time to do that. And we're about verse 19. As I mentioned, Paul is talking about his previous life, and he actually mentions the word evangelion, good news, 7 times in this chapter alone. He says, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm communicating. This is what I want everybody to know. Verse 19, he says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. That's verse 19 of chapter 9. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring all those to Christ. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow Jewish law, I too live apart from that law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. See, Paul, Saul, used to be a Jew, a great Jew, a super Jew. And he followed all the laws a Jew would follow. So there were the 10 commandments. And then on top of that were the 163 rules and laws that Jews had to follow. And he knew these well. But now he chose them not to master his life. In fact, he says, I am a slave. And that word there is hard for us to understand. It's doulos, and it means enslaved. It means he was wanted to do something. He wanted to do something with his life. He wanted to enslave himself to something. And some of you here, people around you long enough, they'll know what you are enslaved to. They'll know what's a key focus of your life. They'll know what's something that you always do. Paul says, I choose to be enslaved to something. He says, I choose to be enslaved to people to bring many to Christ. If Paul was here today as a minister, he would be leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, this is what I choose to do. This is what I'm enslaved to do. This is what I enslave myself to. How does he do that? How do you do that, Paul? He says, I become like a Jew when I was with the Jews. I'm not a Jew anymore. I choose not to be a Jew. I'm free from that. He says, I become like a Jew. Why does he become like a Jew? He knows the laws. He knows what he once was up to. He becomes like a Jew. Why? So that others might know Christ. That's the first thing. And then he says, after that, he says, I will even like go over the laws with them. I'll even become like people in the law. I'll even become like them and remember those laws so that I can communicate who? Jesus Christ. And then he gets down. He's kind of going down the pecking order. He says, even to the Gentiles, those without the law, those who don't follow any law, I'll become like them too. And Paul goes on to be the one who leads all the Gentiles to Christ. Those who perhaps thought they went in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, he says, I'll become part of them too. So all this says that, well, now he's just ignoring the law of God that he once followed. But he even says, I don't ignore the law of God. What do you say? I obey the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? What do I do to follow Christ? What laws do I need to check off? What things do I need to put in a box and check off to let him know that I'm following him? What are the 10 great things that I should do, or these 15 next steps, 3 steps that will help me get closer to God? The law of Christ is to live a cruciform life, to live a life for others. He says, if you want other people to follow Christ, you've got to be like them. I don't mean go over and do everything that they are doing, but to become known by them, to let them know that you care about them. He says, I'm going to become like them. But I obey the Lord of Christ when I do this. I'm sure Jonathan has had to become like Japanese people to encourage Christ, to encourage the gospel message. I'm sure that people have had to become like him in order to know where he comes from, to understand how Christ is working in his life. He says, I become like people and I obey the law of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 22, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find some common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. How does Paul do this? What is the way he communicates the gospel? Does he pick the people that he needs to? Does he arrange them up? He says, no, I become like a Jewish person so that they might know who Christ is. I become like somebody under the law so they might know what Christ is. I become like somebody who is a Gentile. I become like Japanese people. I become like people in Ukraine. I become like people in Russia. I even become like people in the little island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean called England. Why? So that people might know Christ. So that people might know the work that's gone on in you. So that people might know the good news. Might realize this gospel message that's inside us. So that others might know that you too are a missionary, somebody who communicates the gospel so that others might come to know him. And no matter where people are from and no matter what path people have taken, we do this by having things in common with people. Paul says, I'll try and have things in common with people. I'll try and find common ground, doing everything I can to save some. Notice he says to save some. Paul knows that even today that not everybody's going to believe that Jesus died for them. Not everybody's going to believe that this gospel message is for them. But I still keep doing it. He says, I still keep doing it so that some might know. So that some might know who Christ is. And he goes on to say, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. What is it that you are enslaved to? Or what is it that you've decided to give your life to? What is it that you know in the depths of your soul is like, I am going to do this the rest of my life because I have decided to do this. What does that look like for you? What is it in your life that people say, oh yeah, she's enslaved to this? What is it in your life that says that he is definitely passionate about doing this? Later on, Paul says, I run with perseverance. I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step that I do. I run knowing that the best thing in life is to communicate the gospel, to communicate the evangelion. I know the best thing to do is to give up my well-made plans. I know you've got some things you're going to do after church right now. You've got some plans for the rest of the afternoon. You've got some plans for the rest of the week. You've got some plans for the rest of the year, and you've got it all lined up. You know exactly what you're going to do. Give it up. Give up your plans. Give up your plans so that others might know the gospel in you. So that when you bump into people and it's off your schedule, and when you go to a place and you literally meet people that you never thought you'd meet before, that others might know the gospel at work in you. That others might know the evangelion is at work in you. Be an evangelist, somebody who is evangelical in all that you do. Run with a purpose. Run with a purpose for your life and that person's life. Give up your plans so that others might know Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Jonathan and his wife, Satoni, to come back up here. And Pastor Kathy and I are going to pray for them and commission them as they go back to Japan. It's in a couple more weeks before they go back. But we're going to pray for them as they communicate the gospel to those in the Asian Rural Institute. And obviously, they appreciate your support, both financially and prayerfully. And we're thankful that they can be here with us today. But reach out a hand and want them to have a blessing in their life as we pray for them now. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much to my brother Jonathan and Satomi. We thank you, Lord, for they have given their lives over to you. And we pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will fill them afresh and anew after their trip to the States, Lord. That they would go back and pour that back on the people in Japan. That they would know that they've met with you. That they'd know that. That they're refreshed. May they feel our support, Lord, and may they know the strength of you and the strength of the gospel as they go back there. We ask, Lord, this in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.